אנחנו קוראים בספר תלמוד 10
We are reading study of 10 ספירות page 870 part 10 words of diary item 13 you can send questions on captive Yosvet Tova selected questions will be asked here study of 10 ספירות volume 3 part 10 page 870 first ibur of Zeranpin the words of diary item 13 The thing is that when the emanator had a desire to emanate the world of Atzilut with the upper land, the first kings came out initially as complete judgment inside the upper thought. And as the text says, these kings that ruled over the land of Edom, and in them are mixed the klipot and the judgments that are impure. And from all the judgments, the land is cancelled, which is Malchut, until the root of the judgment struck as a hammer that hits the anvil and sparks fly to every side. Similarly, the root of those judgments divided these kings into 320 sparks, as in 32 paths, each one includes 10. And it scrutinized from these sparks, the sparks of the judgment of sanctity, and they are the 32 Elohim in Bereshit from the side of judgment of Kedusha, of sanctity. Again. And the thing is that when the upper emanator had a desire to emanate Atzilut with the upper land, the first kings came out initially as in complete judgment inside the upper thought. And as the text says, these kings that ruled over the land of Edom, and in them are mixed the klipot and the impure judgments.
So what does he want to explain here? He said when his desire came up and so on, he's already regarding Olam HaNikudim, because there we have, for the first time, in the cascading from above downward, there's a connection between Malchut and Bina. Malchut is the will to receive, Bina is the will to bestow, and then there's a connection one against the other. And then we can start speaking about it. I'll read. The matter is that when the emanator's desire, meaning Sag, he is the emanator, because that's the root for all created beings in Malchut. The upper emanator to emanate Atzilut. Atzilut, here he's regarding Olam HaNikudim. With the upper Aretz, which is always what? Bina, right? The first Melachim came out in complete judgment, meaning the will to receive in order to receive, in that upper thought, meaning Olam HaNikudim. Rosh of Sag, the upper thought. As it's written, and those Melachim, written in the Torah, that ruled the land of Edom. Again, he's speaking about Olam HaNikudim. In them, the klipot are mixed in all those Melachim. And the judgments are unsacred, the will to receive in order to receive that has no correction at all. And from those judgments, the Malchut, the land is cancelled, meaning the Malchut, that land, until he struck the root of the judgments, he calls it Butzina de Kardinuta somewhere, as the hammer hitting the anvil, and the sparks go out in every direction. Those are such sparks that connect as a blow. The light that comes from above to a vessel that is unprepared. That is the root of the judgments, part of those, Melachim, to 320 sparks. As the 32 paths, which each is included of 10. And he scrutinized the roots of those sparks, the sparks of judgments of sanctity, and they are the 32 Elohim from Bereshit, from Genesis, on behalf of the judgment of sanctity. Well, let's see. What does he say below? Not much, I guess, but still. We have to get used to this language. He's mixing up a few languages here from the Torah, from all kinds of other excerpts, and also from the wisdom of Kabbalah. We need to get used to it. The main thing is our intention. Please.
Item 13, inner light. To emanate Atzilut with the upper land. Bina is called the upper land, and Malchut is the lower land. Eretz Elyona and Eretz Tachtana. And the merging of Malchut with Bina is considered when the Atzilut was emanated with the upper land, meaning the Masach and the Zivug take place in the place of Bina. And then Bina is called the land of Edom. The root of the Dinim is a hammer that strikes the anvil and sparks fly in all directions, as in 32 paths. Butzina de Kardinuta is called always the root of judgments, meaning the lower hay of the first restriction that was used in the Patsufim of Ak, which is the middle point, as we would explain.
Meaning Malchut itself, the will to receive in order to receive, stands ground, tough. That's the Butzina de Kardinuta.
And the striking, meaning Bitush is striking, because the screen where the coarseness of the restricted lower hay strikes the upper light and raises the reflected light, called Nitzotzin, sparks. And this striking came out in the beginning in the seven kings of Nikudim that came out there, the four kings, by the 4 degrees one below the other. In the Zivugim, the couplings of Abba Ve'ima, upper Abba Ve'ima of Nikudim. And the four kings, Tanhim, came out by the 4 degrees that came out in the Zivugim, the coupling of Yeshut. And from all these 8 degrees, the sparks fell down to Bia. And this is what it says, that it's like a hammer hitting the anvil, and sparks fly in all directions. And the number of these sparks is 320, as he explains. And later, during the correction in the world of Atzilut, this coupling, this Zivug, returned and scrutinizes from them only their first 9, which are the 9 discernments of 32 paths, which are in Gematria Pach, 288. And they are called 32 paths of Chochmah that shine in the 50 gates of Bina, as will be explained.
So he just gives us a whole brief about everything that's going to happen. Everybody heard that? So he says this. We have Malchut from Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, that can't receive in order to bestow the upper light. But the Rosh of Sag manages the Rosh of Nikudim, Keter and Abba Ve'ima, and they think that it is possible to receive in order to bestow in the entire Malchut which is in them. They don't feel that that Malchut is very limited to receive in order to bestow. You can't feel it. And they receive, and they break. And then the upper light that entered the will to receive breaks through into that will to receive, and then sparks go in every direction, meaning all of those lights that were supposed to be accepted in that will to receive, they escaped that will to receive, and they just exist in all kinds of forms outside the will to receive. that number of sparks are 320. It's cleared us where it came from. 32 times 10. It's 32. That means 8 times 4. Anyway, all these things, we know all that. After the shattering, the state comes back again and the light can correct it. Then it takes into account only the lights that can exist in the vessels, scrutinizes them, filters them, sorts them out, puts them in the vessels, and then they reach a state that we have the reception only in a chap of ascending. And the Malchut itself, in its current form of receiving, she can't work. That's why the will to receive will never be filled directly the way it wants to, but only in receiving in order to bestow, supposedly above itself. And in this way, we cause the corrections. Clear? Ask? None. Yeah? Coca.
To receive in order to bestow is above the desire?
Receiving in order to bestow is above the desire, because I'm above or below the desire, it has nothing to do with the desire itself, because obviously I always work with the desire. The question is, how do we speak about it? Am I speaking about my desire to fill his desire? That means that I'm working with my desire? No, it's just a means. But I'm actually going to fill his desire. That's called above. Or as it's written, above reason. We always work only with what we are, with our will to receive. The question is, who are we serving? The will to receive itself, or the desire of the others?
So what is this action of above? What is the action of above?
What do you mean above?
When you say above the desire,
that I'm filling the other's desire.
But you are receiving.
I'm not receiving. If I pass pleasures through me to somebody else, it's not called that I'm receiving. But in a different way, I can't fill the others. I can only in our corporeal world, I can take something and give it to a friend. No. To give in spirituality means that I receive it through the friend's deficiency from the Creator and pass what I got in the friend's deficiency from the Creator, pass it to the friend. So then, in my deficiency, I subjugate it. I take the deficiency of the friend that I want to bestow to. I take the deficiency of the Creator that I want to give him contentment. And then I pass it to the friend. But what do I actually do? I got fatter. I took from the friend. I took a deficiency from the friend to fill him. I took a will to bestow from the Creator in order to benefit him. And who's gaining from all this? Me.
So why is it not considered reception?
Because I'm thinking about the benefit of the Creator and the friend. And I'm in the middle, a zero. I don't want anything for myself. But look what I gain.
So even though everything is going through you, you're not considered the receiver.
Of course not, God forbid. But I really don't want to receive. I'm just included from the deficiency of the friend and from the light of the Creator in order to fill them. Because I can't fill the Creator if I don't fill the friend. Yeah.
So why is it called receiving in order to bestow?
I receive from the Creator to bestow to the friend. I receive deficiencies from the friend in order to bring them to the Creator, to bestow to the Creator.
Why not bestow in order to bestow? Bestowing in order to bestow.
Bestowing in order to bestow, I don't do anything. It's just preparing and correcting the vessels. It's not an action that I'm filling anybody. Not the Creator, not the friend. Bestowing in order to bestow, I'm not working with my will to receive. I'm not activating desires. It's only in order to ascend to the degree of Bina and start connecting.
There's no bestowal to the other there?
No.
Only the restriction of the vessels?
Yes, let's say. We'll learn about it. But obviously it's not corrections to the will to receive. Okay? Yeah.
With respect to what you described before, the system seemingly tried to receive light. The first restriction did not allow it. There was shattering.
What? And?
And then there were sparks, and suddenly you could receive the light.
Not exactly. What's the question?
The system tried to receive light and there was shattering, meaning it transgressed, it broke a certain law, the first restriction. How come suddenly later you could receive? What did it learn? What was the process?
Gargalta Absag. Nekudot Absag descend below. They mix with Tanhi of Galgalta. They restrict. The Rishimot ascend from Nekudot of Sag to Rosh of Sag and descend to Nigbe Naim of Rosh the Sag, perform a Zivug Daka, and the world of Nikudim comes out. It's a Patsuf called Olam Nikudim. From the general tabu till the general ending. Siyum. Now, the first part, this is the parsa. That's how it's called. What's going on here? Parsa. The parsa means that above there's vessels of bestowing and below there's vessels of reception. This is all bina. And below is all malchut. But above we have keter, abba ve'ima, and zon. All in galgalta enayim. Galgalta enayim, galgalta enayim, and galgalta enayim. Below we have achap of zon. Zon and the achap. Now, what are you asking?
You said that the system of the world of Nikudim tried to draw the light. It said, let's go for it.
What does it mean they wanted to draw light? Because there's Rishimot in Galgalta of Dalet Dalet. Ab has Dalet Gimel. Sag has Gimel Bet. In Nekudot de Sag, there's Bet Bet. And here it's Bet Aleph. And they're even restricted in Tzimtzum Bet. What does that mean? That you can work only with the top part. Bet Aleph Tzimtzum Bet.
Bet Aleph.
Bet Aleph Tzimtzum Bet. And then in the Zivug Bet Aleph Tzimtzum Bet that takes place in Nigbe Naim of Rosh the Sag, we get a Partsuf that is called Olam HaNikudim. It's called Olam HaNikudim. That's it. Now the question is, what happens next? Because except for that, we have Dalet Gimel, Rishimot from Neideak. Rishimot of Dalet Gimel. So then we get a Zivug according to Dalet Gimel from Malchut itself, not in Nigbe Naim, but in Malchut. And then the Rishimot of Dalet Gimel, that according to that, we get Malchut, that causes, let's draw it here, that the Zivug takes place and the light can expand and spread out in a different way. It's a big light, because Dalet Gimel is a great light that cancels Tzimtzum Bet and returns to Tzimtzum Aleph. And then we have Keter, Abba Ve'ima, and Zon, that are connected, Gargal Tenaim and the Achap of Zon. And here below, the Shvira, the shattering takes place. And
now you said after the shattering there is Nitzotzin, sparks, and out of those sparks you can build correctly the ascent.
What happens in the shattering? In the shattering we have this. We have the eight Malachim times four of Havaya in each one, it's 32. Times 10 is 320. You can't see this? You do? Okay. 320. 8 is Chet. This is Dalet. This is Lamed Bet. This is Yud. And this is Shach. The software they installed here is horrible. It's something new, supposedly, and good. I write, and I can't see what I'm writing. Even if I touch a spot on the drawing, that's not where the picture comes out. Well, what can you do? What else do you want?
So, if we can continue the explanation, there was shattering.
So, in the shattering, the 320 sparks come out, which are all shattered. They're mixed up between the vessels of bestowal, vessels of reception, thoughts, intentions, everything you want, it all comes to some kind of big mountain that is all shattered, a system that was organized all nice and sparking, the lights, the vessels, intentions to bestow, it's all shattered. And?
That's what I'm asking. And?
So,
suddenly you said you can build it.
Afterwards, we built something new, which is called that these Rishimot from the shattering and everything, they ascend back. They ascend back to Rosh of Sav and already not to Nigbe Naim of Rosh of Sag, but to Metzach. Metzach of Rosh of Sag. And then from the Metzach of Rosh of Sag by the Rishimot of Aleph. Wait. Aleph and Shoresh, Tzimtzum Bet, the light descends and builds the Olamot, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Organizes everything, what it can. And what it can't, it can't. What does it mean, it can't? That there's a stony heart in them. There's a Bchinat Dalet that can't be corrected there yet. There was a problem there that they performed the Zivug on Bchinat Dalet. Yeah.
So after the shattering, they learned how to take the stony heart out of the equation and rebuild.
That's all done in Olam Atzilut. It takes the Levaeven and performs Zivug with all the other details. Until Gmar Tikkun. You never touch Bchinat Dalet itself. Only by integrating, that's what we call above reason, that's how we work. And what happens next? In Gmar Tikkun, after we corrected everything, in raising it above reason, in correcting it all, in order to bestow, in integrating the vessels of bestow, What are we doing here, actually? We're doing something very unique here. We have the wall to receive. We can correct part of it, which will be integrating in order to bestow. But part of it, which is a stony heart, that cannot be corrected. It's Bchinat Dalet itself. It can integrate with the first nine. It can't. And then we perform corrections in this part. And in the part below, we never make corrections. We don't correct. What do? We don't use it. And what happens? After we finish all of these corrections, and all these discernments can already be in order to bestow, that's called that we reach the Gemara Tikkun, meaning that a special light comes and corrects the stony heart. That is the last action that we aren't supposed to do. We have to cause it, but not perform it. That's it. I understand that it's been a while since we studied Das and Pticha and the preface, so the brain works differently. So, slowly, we're coming back to it. From here on, we're constantly going to mix it up altogether. That's why I also recommend to come, whoever can, in the evening to study Tree of Life. Yeah.
She can explain, the system is organized in such a way that the shattering is pre-planned.
Of course. What, the benefit of the shattering? Because the vessels of bestow and the vessels of reception interconnect, and through many actions they can bring corrections to the vessels of reception. It's written. How else could you correct the vessels of receptions if you isolate them? No? Specifically when there's a mixing between them. The benefit, not the correction, the benefit, what you're scrutinizing, this is good, I can do it, this I can't, this is worth doing now, this is later. All these scrutinies give you the ability to connect all these desires between all the different kinds of bestowals. Then you start understanding the mind of the Creator, why He created it in such a way. That is the main thing. It's not the matter of correction or corruption, but by this, that I, just like if you want to assemble something, this goes here, this goes here, this goes there, maybe this way, maybe that way. Is this okay with this? Will this work or not? From this, you start understanding the thought, the mind of the machine, and from this, the one who created it. And in this way, you reach Tvikut in Him.
He built this game, and then He gives us a challenge after He chatted to rebuild it, and from that we learn about Him.
Yes, of course, that's the purpose of creation, to bring the created beings to the degree of the Creator. And it can be done otherwise. Only from what we're actually assembling is the Creator that is not there, and we're assembling a system which is the Creator. You have made me, as it's written. Okay? Whoever asks all the time, I can't anymore understand. It's impossible. You have to think when to ask, when not. Now we are going to next stage.
We're going to go to the next part of the lesson, and before that, a song.
Smile.